May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and salvation. Amen. Excuse me. Well, what we just heard was a reading from the Gospel of John about another post-resurrection appearance of Jesus to his disciples, the third one according to John's Gospel. Last week, we heard about the first two, where Jesus appeared to his disciples while they were hiding in a locked room. And we also heard about his separate interaction with Thomas, with doubting Thomas. Well, the disciples aren't in the locked room anymore. They've ventured out. We know they were hiding because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities, but clearly no Jewish authorities have come to round them up. So Jesus' followers can't stay in that room forever. They either have to get out, go fishing, get some food, or they can stay in that room and starve. So Peter, and at this point, they really have no direction as to what they're supposed to do. So Peter decides to go and do what he knows. He's going to go back to work. He's going to go fishing. And fishing is done at night. So there's a good likelihood that they can go out, they can fish, and nobody is going to see them. Sounds like a good idea, not only to Peter, but to Thomas, Nathaniel, James, John, and a couple others. So they all go out to fish, to do something. Now, as we heard, they're not successful, and in the early morning, they see someone on a beach, not realizing at this point that it is Jesus. And some people might have a theological argument for that, but I don't know. At 100 yards, in early morning light, after I've been awake all night, I am not sure I would recognize my nearest and dearest standing on the shore. So I'm not going to worry about that part. There are commentaries which will talk about a theological reason for that, but we'll let it go. But they are told by this random person on the shore to try again. And they net a huge haul of fish. Now in this miracle, some of them, particularly John and Peter, recognize Jesus in the midst of this miracle and head towards him. And Peter, in typical Peter fashion, will jump in head first, and this time literally. Now, when I started reading this and started writing on this, I thought, I know I've preached on this before, not uncommon, same things come up and around, but I thought, man, I've preached on this really recently, which seems odd to have two readings that were the same so close together. So I went and checked back, and I realized that back in February, I preached on this incident, on the catch of large fish. Well, sort of. Here's one of the lovely things about the Bible that come up from time to time. There is a story about an abundant catch of fish that happens in Luke's gospel. And it happens almost exactly the same way, except it happens right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry when he calls his first disciples. He comes to the beach, tells these people to throw their nets in and catch fish. Well, John says it happens after Jesus rose. So is there anything we need to worry about this story coming up differently? The answer is it doesn't matter. This is one of those lovely inconsistencies we find in the Bible that just makes you realize we're all human, that the writers were all human. Think of it as that family story that always gets told at gatherings. The one that happened at Grandma and Grandpa's anniversary. Except it didn't happen at Grandma and Grandpa's anniversary, it happened at Uncle Ben's birthday party. So that's how you think about that. It happened. The writers and those who told the stories and those who wrote it down are remembering it differently. So the important part is not when the story happened, but that it did happen. Then what we want to know is what truth and insights do we gain from the story, regardless of whether it happened at the beginning of Jesus' ministry or if it happened at the end of Jesus' ministry on earth. the disciples come ashore and find that Jesus has given them a gift. Not just all the fish, but he's built a fire. He's prepared a meal for them. Just something out of generosity, out of love. No strings, no attachment, no transaction, just an invitation to sit and eat and join in fellowship. Now, the other thing that happens in both Gospels is how that interaction ends, with Jesus' invitation, follow me, follow me. It doesn't matter where the disciples were on their faith journey, whether they were encountering Jesus for the first time or whether they'd been traveling with him and learning about him. Peter and John had been with him since most of his ministry, right from day one almost, and they are still invited. Follow me. Jesus may have died and rose, but he is still asking them to follow. He's asking them to continue. Excuse me. He is asking them to continue to be his disciples. The journey is not over. Now, last week you heard David talk about our discipleship journey, and I tied it into this talk when I gave it the last as well. It's something you see on the... David showed the overhead last week, but you see it at the beginning of the services, how we progress in our journey as disciples. We connect with a faith community. You've all connected with us in some way. We explore faith in Jesus Christ, and then we continue to grow deeper in our faith as disciples. You can also look at the website, stgeorgemapleridge.ca, and that's a good place if you want to enter into that discipleship journey as to where to find next steps and resources. But there's one step we've kind of glossed over every time we've talked about it. First step, we connect. Second step, we explore. The third one, we grow. And then, the fourth one, we lead. We lead like Jesus, and we lead to Jesus. And by we, in this case, I actually mean me, because I actually avoided this whole one in my last time I talked about this, because it sounds really, really uncomfortable. If we lead like Jesus, that sounds like an impossible standard to achieve. If we lead to Jesus, that sounds an awful lot like that really uncomfortable E word, evangelism, that a lot of us would rather someone else do all of that. We'd rather someone else be the leader, because we are not Jesus. We're just like normal people. And Peter is at that point where he is about to take that step. He has been Jesus' first follower. And we know, if you've read any of the stories, that Peter is not perfect. He's enthusiastic. He's fearful. He's impetuous. And he gets things wrong a lot and gets corrected by Jesus all the time. He's a fisherman. He's not a teacher. He's not a preacher. He is not knowledgeable, he's not powerful, he's not anyone that would be a leader. I mean, he even denied knowing Jesus at points in his life. So why Peter? So Jesus takes Peter aside. Peter, do you love me? And Peter, who once denied knowing Jesus, says, yes, I love you. And Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter, who a second time said, I don't know him, says, I love you. And Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter, who a third time said, I don't know him, says, yes, you know I love you. I am ready. He has always, always been willing to try. He makes mistakes, but he never gave up. And Peter doesn't know it yet, but he is going to become the leader of the early church. And which at this point, it isn't really even a church. It's just a bunch of people who followed Jesus and really don't know what to do now. But Jesus knows Peter. He knows his heart. And he knows Peter will be the rock on which a church will be built, the one whom the followers of Jesus will gather around. And so Jesus gives Peter some final instructions. Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. Follow me. Take care of my flock. It's not Peter's flock, it's Jesus' flock, but it's been entrusted to Peter to care for. Jesus, our good shepherd, is telling Peter that he's entrusting the flock to him. So now Peter's discipleship is going in a new direction. He has connected with Jesus, he's explored his faith, and he's grown in his relationship with Jesus and with God. And that's what we are meant to do there, strengthen our relationship with God and our relationship with Christ. And that would be a great place to live. We could bask in that love that we have been given. We could just glory in that grace we have been provided by God through Jesus. We could just gather here together on Sunday. We could enjoy our time during prayer. We could find ourselves coming closer to God as we praise him. And we can be comforted in this fellowship of the people who believe the same. But as we saw Jesus telling Peter, to follow him is to do more. It is to care for the others. The lambs, the new believers, the ones who have been established a while, the sheep. Jesus has taught us to love one another as he loved us. Jesus washed the feet of his disciples and told us to do the same. Jesus said people would know we follow him because of how we love one another. And in that love of God comes abundant life, like a lot of fish. But that isn't something we are meant to keep and hoard for ourselves. We need to take what we've been instructed and share it. Our vision here is that we live and share the good news of Jesus Christ, that we lead like Jesus and to Jesus. And that is a very uncomfortable part of the discipleship journey. But I do want to reassure you of one thing. Not everyone, probably not most, possibly not all of you, are going to ever be asked to stand up in front of a crowd of strangers on the street and preach the gospel that way, like Peter will do on Pentecost. Not everyone is going to be called to travel the known world like Paul did to share the good news in foreign countries. Not everyone is going to be called to be a priest, a pastor, or a deacon. Although if you do feel the Spirit is moving you, I do, in that direction, I would encourage you to talk to Dave and myself or Roxanne about that, and we can let you know what your next steps are. Not everyone is going to be asked to be the leader, but we are all being asked to lead somewhere. Jesus came and gave us abundant life. and we are to lead people to him and to lead like him. So once we are done, we are going to be having a prayer time, and we will have a prayer team ready to pray for you. You may want to pray silently, or you may want to come and ask one of the prayer team for strength or insight into how God is asking you to be a leader in your own community, in your own circle of people. And just for help in hearing that voice. So we'll just take a quick moment here and pray and say, Lord, we thank you for the example of Peter. We thank you that we don't have to be perfect. We thank you that we aren't expected to be perfect. We thank you that all we need to be to be your disciples is to love you. We don't have to be the best choice either. But we ask you, send your Holy Spirit among us. Open our ears, open our hearts, open our minds to find out where we are being called to follow, where we are being called to lead, and who we are being called to tend. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.